Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Going the Distance, the Rocky Series podcast. And I'm very excited today because, well, because this is the first time that this gentleman has been on the podcast as a guest host for the podcast. This is not a crossover podcast episode. So, ladies and gentlemen, do not adjust your dials. Stay with the show because we have with us Craig Cohen from the Slycast podcast. But you are on board today as a guest host of my show. You are not doing Slycast duties. Is that correct?
Yeah. And it's awesome, Ryan. It was funny until we were sitting down to record here that I realized that, you know, this will be, like you said, my first time in the second chair here for your show. So it's really exciting. It's always an honor to be invited on someone else's show.
The pleasure is all mine. I mean, let's talk a bit about the little Twitter war. We do our podcast crossover. So for our listeners who might not know, myself, Craig of Slycast, and Doug of the Rocky Minute, we all have our own shows. We all have our own shows, but the three of us get together and we do a one-off episode where we review a Sylvester Stallone movie that's neither Rambo nor Rocky. Just talk about it, and we then put that same recording on all three feeds. People of my show, I know I have a lot of listeners on my show, Craig, that listen to your show, and a lot of listeners listen to the Rocky Minute and vice versa. But Every now and then, we'll get listeners who only listen to our respective feeds, which is totally fine. Our hope is everyone listens to everyone. We want to share the wealth. But we had this one guy who actually only listens to your show. So we can talk about him because he ain't listened to my show. And I don't even know his name, so it doesn't matter. But he went on Twitter. I think this is a funny story for my listeners. He went on Twitter and he commented to Craig saying, "Hey, Craig, what's the deal with your new show?" I.e. me, Doug, and Craig talking about Sylvester Stallone movies. He thought, this gentleman, that Doug and I had taken over co-hosting duties on the Slycast, and not only had we taken over, myself in particular, I was a bad co-host.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he took offense to the fact that I didn't love Over the Top as much as he did.
Yeah, he really took offense to Over the Top. My lack of, I won't say hatred because that's a strong word, but I did not like that movie.
I've always thought that the way I've presented those episodes on the feed, they don't have Slycast in the title. I guess certain people's mileage varies, but you know, anytime I open up a podcast feed that I listen to and I see content, I get excited because it's something for me to listen to from a podcast I really enjoy. So like you said, you know, having that episode on all three feeds benefits everyone because the listeners to those shows get bonus episode. And also it's promoting each other's shows. And I apologize for the chirping in the background. We recently got some parrots, which I guess kind of fits with Rocky Fox. Adrian's back in the pet store, and she's chained out the paper under the birds at one point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I hear the birds. They're coming through. Craig, you're a little bit choppy on your end. I don't know if it's a new room that you're in or if it's my end because I'm in a hotel.
I'm going to reduce my video settings because we don't need to see me.
No, you can even, if you want, you can go audio only if you want. Oh, but you have to see what I'm sharing, though. That's right.
I can still see it.
Let's try that. And so we want to say to any listeners that I will say go listen to Craig and the Slycast because they have done some great coverage of Sylvester Stallone movies. And even though he's covered something that we've already covered or vice versa, it's nice to hear a different voice and opinion because really you can't say too much about Sly and his movies. And I actually want to talk to you, Craig, before we start talking about Rocky V. What's your thoughts on Sylvester Stallone sharing some of the Rambo pictures and the 4K First Blood coming up at the Cannes Film Festival?
I think it's great. I think anytime that Rambo gets a platform, Rambo's got its fans, but it's funny because probably because of the ratings, and I think we talked about this when we talked about the early reaction to the photos that dropped, that, you know, with the R ratings that Rambo has, its audience is a little different. And even though Rambo was sort of part of pop culture in the 80s, I don't think people are as excited or as loyal to Rambo as they are to Rocky. So to see Rambo get that kind of platform, a global platform, in advance of the release of the new movie is really exciting. And it's great to see Sly out and about promoting it. It almost feels like he's promoting this more than he did Creed 2.
He is totally promoting this more than Creed 2. He didn't do one talk show circuit for Creed 2 that I can think of, like a major late night or anything.
The promotional push for Creed 2 was really, really interesting, but I guess it worked for them because the movie did well. And people seem to enjoy it. It's good that we're going to at least have the opportunity to see Sly out and about promoting. So, you know, the more I've seen about this movie since they finished filming, the more optimistic I get. I was probably one of the most down on it out of anybody I know. And I've slowly turned the corner, and I'm looking forward to it. From every indication, it's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen in the past, which I welcome, because who needs to see the same thing done over and over again?
How dark do you think this movie is going to be as far as atmosphere?
I'm saying it's going to be darker than a lot of people would like it to be.
Mm. I got a feeling too that this is going to be pretty heavy. Like, the Rambo 4 was brutally violent,
yeah,
but it still had a rewatchability. I wonder if this one's going to be really brooding and dark, that it, I dare say, it might not be fun. It might be just too brutal. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, there's movies like that. There's movies that you see and you say, okay, I'm good. I don't think I'm going to need to see this movie again. And if that's what happens with this new Rambo, so be it. We'll still have the, you know, the ultra rewatchable First Blood and First Blood Part 2 and Rambo 4. Your opinion of Rambo 3 might be different than mine, but that's not one I go back and watch very often.
Well, speaking of movies that people don't go back and watch very often, let's talk about Rocky V.
Is it fair to say that this is the most polarizing of the Rocky films?
Yeah, and you talked about this on your show. You guys did an episode. So if you haven't, Go in the Distance listeners, go to the Slycast and listen to his whole program. But if you want to listen to him just talk about Rocky, go listen to their discussion about Rocky V, specifically the director's cut, the unreleased director's cut. That's a good episode. I don't know what number it is, but it's pretty easy to find in your podcast feed.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's rare that we've dedicated two episodes of our show to one movie, and we felt that Rocky V really warranted it. It was a good discussion. And I think the further we get removed from Rocky V, the more people start to change their opinion of it. And the one thing that I think is funny, Ryan, is that Rocky V has more in common with Rocky and Rocky II and Rocky Balboa than it does Rocky 3 and 4, mm-hmm, which are held in pretty, you know, high regard. So it's funny that when Rocky 5 decided to come back to kind of a normal universe, you know, people kind of, you know, didn't respond as well as they should have. And, you know, it's probably because Rocky didn't get in the ring, but that shouldn't prevent you from enjoying a movie.
Yeah, I've talked about this on our show, where as we're breaking down Rocky 5 kind of in piecemeal, and really talking about what's going on in each scene. And we just finished talking about Tommy and his acting, or Tommy Morrison and his acting, when he talked about his father beating him up. And that scene just happened in the last episode, and it just happened in the part of the film that we're about to watch. We actually talked about Tommy Morrison, and he actually did a very good job relaying the abuse that he had at the hands of his father. And we wondered if Tommy Morrison had similar abuse happen to him, for a first-time actor to kind of draw that kind of emotion.
It makes you wonder where Stallone would have gotten that character thread from. Mm. It almost does feel, Ryan, like you said, possibly got a little bit of a foot in Morrison's real life, you know, maybe stemmed from discussions that Sly had with him or something. I've actually never seen, and this is probably, you know, Mike Kunda territory, but I've never seen like pre-shooting script for this movie or anything. So it would be interesting to see what's in those early drafts before, you know, all the casting was locked in.
Yeah, boy, I would love to see that. I'm sure Matt Marchand, if you're listening, go find us the alternate script or the early script of this movie. You're on a mission. All right, so we're going to play some of the scene here where Rocky is going to invite Tommy to spend the night.
Hey, Tommy, where are you staying tonight? You got a place?
Oh, I'll find some place to stay. I mean,
no, I tell you, we got room down in the basement. It's not, you know, it's nice. I don't know.
What about me?
Wait, Mr. Sweetheart, your son is sleeping down there.
Well, he can stay with his uncle, right? That's my pit stop. Nice.
Hey, I don't want to cause any problems. I mean, I can find some place to stay.
No, it's okay. You know, it's just for a little while, you know. Right? No problem at all. You know, it'll be all right. Hey, kid, appreciate it. It's all right. It's cold outside.
Hey, I'm not changing no sheets.
We talked earlier in the with Kyle in our last episode where, you know, Rocky essentially invited Tommy unannounced to poor Adrian, and I don't know how your wife would feel. I know my wife would feel if I brought somebody home like this out of the blue. What would your wife say?
Oh, this is a perfect learning example as a newlywed, and I've been guilty of it in the past of sort of making decisions for the two of us before I consult her. So I kind of sympathized with Rocky here in the fact that he got a little overeager and didn't consult with Adrian, but he's also relocating his son, which is, you know, really, he's putting everybody in a tough spot, including Paulie.
Yeah, a lot is going on here. So he's kicking Robert out of the basement, which is his room, having him live with his uncle in his room. Can you imagine sleeping in Paulie's room? Like, seriously, it's so gross. Like, he's going to end up sleeping on the floor, obviously, but it's insinuated that he's going to sleep in the bed with Paulie because Paulie's like, I'm not going to change the sheets. And Rocky's about to say, well, hey, since we have you ever... Ugh. Yeah. Adrian just standing there. And I've been guilty of this too, Craig. I have been guilty of making decisions where I think I'm helping people, but I've actually just made it hard for my family.
I think that's, you know, kind of human nature, right? You want to do something nice for somebody, and then sometimes you forget that you have other people that you have to consider as well.
What's the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished.
Exactly. But I mean, I think this is a core example of Rocky as a character, though. He's pure. Everything Rocky does comes from a pure, innocent place. There's nothing that Rocky's ever done in one of the movies that intentionally done with malice or he's got an innocence to him. And I think that's why so many people respond to that character.
Agreed. He sees somebody in need. He wants to help them. And I love how he says to Robert, you know, we can't have him not stay here because it's cold outside. And he said the same to Paulie in Rocky 1, where he's about to get kicked out on Thanksgiving. He's like, yo, Paulie, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, it's just for a little while, you know, right?
No problem at all. You know, it'll be all right. Hey, kid, appreciate it.
It's all right.
It's cold outside.
Hey, I'm not changing no sheets.
Hey, since when have you ever?
Hey, Tommy, why don't you come on down and we'll show you the whole place.
Sweetheart, why don't you go downstairs, show your father what you did today. Come on.
Hey, Junior, your plumbing don't leak, do it?
You know this guy?
Yeah, it's hot.
Paulie to ask Robert if his plumbing leaks. Oh, my gosh.
But the look that Robert gives him is great. Sage had some issues as an actor, but that reaction is perfect. He completely nailed it.
You know, it's funny. We talked about this, and I think our memory of this movie, maybe it's a Mandela effect, but like I find Tommy's acting in this movie is better than I remember. I find that the kids acting in this movie is better than I remember. Maybe today's actors aren't as good as we think, because these guys aren't doing that bad of a job, considering that both Tommy and Sage are essentially new actors.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would agree with you.
Adrian tells Robert to show his father something that he did at school today.
She totally sets him up for what's about to happen.
And right. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
It's a misstep. Timing.
It is a misstep. Yeah. She could have said, hey, when your dad's done setting Tommy up downstairs, when he comes back up, when you have his undivided attention. You've done this before where you've mentioned it's a, what do you call that? A plot device.
Yeah.
And so that's what that is. It's like in a real household, it would have been just, my wife right now would be giving me looks a kill at this point. Just, oh, I would be getting an earful right now. Having this complete stranger staying in our basement. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Now, Paulie's place is pretty big. He's got a pretty much finished basement, and they got the main floor with the kitchen, and they got the upstairs with the bathrooms. It's not a bad little place that he ended up keeping. We actually talked about this in our last episode with Kyle, and maybe you can answer. When or did Paulie ever live with the Balboas? Did he ever live with them, or was he just there all the time? And if he did live with them, did he just rent out this place?
Yeah, you know what? I thought he lived with them in part three, and then I guess you would say part four. I mean, as soon as he, you know, Rocky really got that ridiculous money, it felt like him and Mickey were both living with the family. But maybe he was just over there all the time. And then at that point, why would he keep the apartment? But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Paulie had like a side hustle going on where he was renting it out or subletting it. And then when the time came and he needed to move back in, he had it.
Yeah, because he mentions in this film, he goes, aren't you glad I kept the place? So I guess, yeah, he probably just kicked out whoever was living there.
That's a whole nother movie.
Yeah. Well, Ruben and I have mentioned this on our show in the past, where we would love to see the Paulie series, all the stuff that Paulie's doing outside of the events of Rocky that we see.
Setting up the sponsorship deals and...
Yeah. His conversations,
the night in jail.
His conversations with the robot. That would be quite a series.
Oh, a side series. That's great.
So now Rocky's about to show Tommy the downstairs basement here. Tommy does mention that, you know, Adrian, man, she really can cook. So we get another talk about Adrian and her cooking. This is, I guess, unbeknownst to the writers at the time, or Stallone at the time, that Adrian's cooking was going to play a role with the diner. Now, was this diner made during her life and then she died while it was a kitchen? Or are we led to believe that Rocky set it up after her passing?
You know, I always thought that it's been a while since I've seen Balboa, so I don't know if it's mentioned, but I always got the impression that he opened it after she died, after her and her memory and in honor of her. It's possible, I guess, they could have opened it together. The fact that it's branded with so much Rocky stuff almost makes me feel like it had to be after she died, because if it was before, you think it would have had a little bit more of her touch.
Mm, right. Good point. But now that I've heard him talk about the cooking so much with Adrian, I wonder, you know what? I think I'm going to go with you that it was made after she had passed, and she has a love for cooking that seems to be talked about in this film quite a bit. It was never talked about in previous films other than the turkey alley, eat the bird in the alley. but I guess Adrian's always enjoyed cooking, and so I guess Rocky, that's the way to honor his dead wife, was to cook.
Yeah. Do you think that's on the menu at Adrian's trash can turkey?
That'd be awesome. Bird in the Alley special.
They have it at Guy Fieri's restaurant here in Las Vegas today. He has a Mexican place, and he's got trash can nachos, so that's where I got that from.
That's awesome. Well, we got to try that.
She can really cook.
Yeah, she's okay. Listen, Tom, we ain't had a chance to get this place too nice, so we'll get it together in a little while. You know?
Oh, wow, man, this is what it's all about.
Holy,
why do you keep this stuff down here?
Why, when'd you get a chance to do this? You took everything out of a box and fixed this up like this beautiful when you painted. When'd you get a chance to do this, kid?
All right, so we'll set up for our audio listeners, obviously. So what's happened here is they've walked down, and Rocky's literally just finished saying, oh, we haven't really fixed up this place down here. And I guess this is what we were supposed to see. I forgot about this little scene. I thought he had a painting or something to show his dad, but that's right. So Robert had set up all of Rocky's like belts and gloves and, you know, kind of the Rocky paraphernalia stuff for his dad to see like this. It's really not that great of a setup, but he like drapes the belt over a pipe.
Yeah.
Rocky is just as surprised by this as, Tommy's like, oh, well, this is cool. Look at all this stuff. This is what it's all about. That's what he's referring to. And unbeknownst to Robert, the setup for his father is also is being set up for Tommy.
Rocky's response here is pretty genuine, and he definitely seems genuinely excited, you know, less with the fact that it's all of these things that, you know, he had in storage, and more that his son took the time to set it all up.
I mean, the fact that it was in boxes and stuff, he probably would have left in the box forever.
Yeah.
But Tommy's like, you know, ogling it, saying, oh, look at this. This is what it's all about. But yeah, Rocky's saying, you know, you did this. And you painted? What did he paint? I got to look at this as it goes further. I can't remember what he painted, where Rocky would have noticed something painted. Would you get a chance to do this, kid? I love that.
After school, it's no big deal.
You know, if you don't mind me asking, where'd you get the glove?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
You know, thanks. This is one of my favorite objects, you know. Like, Mickey gave me this, you know, before he departed. It was Rocky Marciano's cufflink that we had fixed, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
The real Rocky Marciano?
Yeah. You know, you got me thinking about Mickey. I want to show you something. Come on.
Again, this is another plot device, because we as an audience are reminded, even though that scene was a great scene, that the cufflink was given to Rocky. But as the movie's gone on, I wouldn't be surprised if more than one viewer had forgotten about that sequence. And,
right.
And now we're reminded, oh, yeah, that cufflink is important, because Tommy's like, hey, do you mind if I ask you where you got that necklace that's around your neck that might come into play later in this film?
Yeah, some of that convenient dialogue to drive things along. And this is really also the moment where, you know, Robert should have excused himself and gone back up to the kitchen.
Yeah, sure. And Rocky, being a little bit silly here, he's a little excited. Now he's getting excited. He's remembering the time that he had with Mickey. And, of course, he's transferring that same energy that Mickey probably, you know, Mickey had the same energy at tender age of 76 when he first wanted to manage Rocky. He's like, it was like a second life form. And he's talked about that, how I wouldn't go on living if it wasn't for you, kid. So now Rocky's got a reason to live, in a sense. He's got a reason to not, you know, he's in the poorhouse, but just like Mickey was in a poorhouse, so to speak. Now Rocky's got a chance to take the stuff that's in him and give it to somebody else.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges for athletes that are retired, or anybody that's really retired that can't do what they used to do, one of the greatest ways to get that feeling back is to have it vicariously through somebody else. So you can't fault Rocky for the way he's responding to Tommy.
As an audience, we feel bad for Robert, but Rocky's not meaning to be neglectful, but he's kind of being, I mean, I'm a parent myself. Sometimes you just, you know, you see the kids every day. You don't always get excited, you know?
Yeah.
It's normal human behavior. There's something new and exciting, something flashy in front of his eyes, which happens to be a student, somebody he can, a real potential boxer here. You know, no offense to Robert, but Robert's not Tommy Gunn as far as boxing prowess goes.
Yeah, as much as fans have sort of wanted that movie where Robert follows in his father's footsteps, I think we can finally say that's not going to happen. And I say thankfully.
Yeah, that would have been too much. That would have been too much. He's got his mind on Mick. He wants to show Tommy something that Mick had for him.
Can you give me this? You know, before he departed, it was Rocky Marciano's cufflink that we had fixed. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
The real Rocky Marciano?
Yeah. You know, you got me thinking about Mick. I want to show you something. Come on. Well, he told me a long time ago. He says that fighting is like 90% in the skull and 10% in the body. This is what he says to me.
Hey, Dad, I met this really nice girl today. She's great.
Oh, yeah, really? It's wonderful.
Yeah, she's a lot better than Sarah.
Don't change the station. I'll be right back with you. I just want to tell Tommy a few things. Hey.
You know, his father was talking.
Yeah.
But he's a 14-year-old kid, right? He's seen that his father is giving some attention to another guy, and the kid's kind of jealous of that. He's like, hey, you know, I'm seeing this girl named Jewel. I guess he's had a girlfriend before. Boy, at the age of 14, he's already on to his second girlfriend.
Yeah, look at him. He's a player. And he didn't even have the earring yet.
How did he score Sarah without the earring cufflink? Well, the daughter I always wanted.
But this is funny because this is a speech that Rocky gives here to Tommy. Adrian pretty much gives the same speech back to Rocky in the street after Tommy comes by on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That's a great scene, by the way.
Yeah, well, it is. But it's just so funny to see that, you know, Rocky's imparting this wisdom to Tommy that he doesn't seem to even realize.
This is actually really good writing on Sly's part because he wrote this movie. And the acting is really good, too, because he's all excited. And he's kind of like vomiting his whole life onto Tommy. And it's probably a part of Tommy's like, oh boy, what have I gotten myself into? I wanted a dog, but now the dog that I wanted won't stop licking me.
Yeah.
So Rocky's kind of like, he's coming on strong. But he's excited, but it's harmless, but he's still coming on strong. He's like, you know, Mickey said this, Mickey did, and I'm going to give this all to you, and we're going to be like best friends, and you're going to be, you know, and a smarter Rocky, like a Rocky 3 Rocky wouldn't be doing this, but a Rocky 5 Rocky.
Yeah, that's a really excellent point. It's just basically an information dump that he can't control.
He's excited, and I've done the same thing. I've done the same thing. Look, I'm as guilty of some of the stuff that Rocky's done already in this episode, you know, opening my heart, but I've shared things and have offered things and been really excited about new friendships, only to find out later that, oops, I probably should have slowed down. I probably should have sussed out the situation a little bit better. I probably should have dated the friend, so to speak, before I did things for them. So this is kind of what's happened to Rocky. He talked before about scams and being careful of people, and now he's kind of opened himself up with his guard down here.
Yeah.
She's great.
Oh yeah, really, it's wonderful.
Yeah, she's a lot better than Sarah.
Don't change the station. I'll be right back with you. I just want to tell Tommy a few things. I mean, hey, who's your best friend back in Orlando?
Oh, that's Oklahoma.
Well, yeah.
Eric Elder.
No. Your best friend is a guy named Frankie Fear. You see, fear is a fighter's best friend. You know, it ain't nothing to be ashamed of. See, fear keeps you sharp. It keeps you awake. You know, it makes you want to survive. You know what I mean? But the thing is, you got to learn how to control it, all right? Because fear is like this fire, all right? And it's burning deep inside. Now, if you control it, Tommy, it's going to make you hot. But you see, if this thing here, it controls you, it's going to burn you and everything else around you up. That's right, you know.
Another little Rocky speech there.
And this is funny because those people who listen to my show and listen to our joint show know that I have two dogs, and one of them's named Frankie. And this poor dog, I think I've confused so much because I call him so many different things. And one of the things I do call him a lot is Frankie Fear.
There you go. That's awesome.
But it doesn't help when a dog's trying to remember all the different names that you call him. But I love this speech. I love the concept of embracing fear. This scene is really just a great scene.
And he's calling back, of course, his fear that he had in Rocky III.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good trivia question. I'm going to put this up, actually, when we're done this recording, I'm going to put this up on our Facebook page. Who was Tommy Gunn's best friend in Oklahoma?
Oh, wow. Monica?
No, Eric Elder.
Oh, I don't know why I said Monica.
Well, that's fine. That's a good little trivia. I wonder who's going to know that one. Even if they have to go find it, that's hard to do. I won't even say where to find it.
Yeah.
That's a good trivia. That's a deep one. I wonder if Kunda, yeah. I wonder if Kunda could do that without looking.
I'm sure he can.
I should message him first and, hey, answer this before anyone else. Go.
Yeah.
But you have to answer right away. No looking it up. I wouldn't have known that at all. That's the beauty of breaking this down like this. He's now kind of doing that dumping already. So he's already said that 90% of boxing is in the head or in the skull. It's only 10% body. Don't have fear. Fear will consume you. So he's just like, he's getting so excited. He's like, I get to tell something I get to say this to somebody. And I guess he probably hasn't said this kind of stuff to Robert.
Yeah.
He's probably seen, and no offense to Robert, but Rocky's a fighter, right? And he's probably sensed that his son's a little bit soft. He's not street smart. And he's protective of that because he gives him that big speech when he's walking to the school for the first time. I think if Rocky had a son who was just like him as a kid, he probably would have been like, yo, you know what you got to do.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. And it just shows that it's hard for Rocky to make that connection when they're not as much in common, and that's why he's so drawn to Tommy.
Yeah, sure. Tommy's not soft. He knocked out his old man. It was the first person he knocked out was his old man. Well, we had another thing that we brought up in our last episode with Kyle. Maybe you can answer. When Tommy mentions that the first person he knocked out was his father because his father was abusive, and Rocky says, well, at least you had somebody to knock out, an old man to knock out. But then we also know that Rocky had a picture of his mother and father on the mirror in Rocky I. Was Rocky raised by a single mother? And if so, was it because maybe the father died?
Yeah, possibly. I would almost wonder if this was just, that was a convenient response or a clever response.
Hey, look, I'm trying to tie this universe together. I'm really trying to make Rocky V fit into the universe.
Yeah. I would go with the passing away angle more than a father who neglected him.
I think so, too, because he had that picture on his mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we said too. We're leaning towards that his mother was a widow, which would fit the Rocky kind of woe was me universe.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, he's about to say here, anyway, these are the things that were taught to me.
Anyway, these are the things that was taught to me, and if you want, I'd like to teach to you.
So does this mean you're going to manage me?
Absolutely. Hey, home team.
All okay. Right.
Let's go for
it. Hey, Rock. As long as we're down here, do you mind showing me a few things?
Sure, Tommy. I'm going to show you a lot of things.
Okay. All right. Sure, Tommy. I'm going to show you a lot of things. Like, ooh, creepy.
Now, here's the thing. Do you think a lot of problems could have been avoided here if Rocky became his coach and not his manager?
Well, I was going to ask you, what's the difference between a manager and a coach? I get confused by this.
I mean, it's weird because the Rocky universe really sort of makes it all one thing, right? Like Mickey was Rocky's manager and coach, but they never really got into the business side of things that Mickey had to be taken care of. But then you had Duke too, who was his corner man. Mm. It just seems like the Rocky universe never really set us up for a huge team. But it seems here like it would have made perfect sense for Rocky to be the coach and then somebody's got a little bit more experience to be the manager.
I think in the Rocky movies, manager and coach are the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we're really supposed to expect Mickey to be like writing up these contracts and
yeah, well, that's why I don't understand. Yeah, the manager is just that he manages the day-to-day, the scheduling, the interviews, the brokering the deals, how much are we getting paid here, who's getting paid what. That's what I think. I understand. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, well, Rocky is no manager. Say what you want about George Washington Duke. He knows how to wheel and deal.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Of course, this is kind of weak writing because all of a sudden we have Rocky saying, you know, I got all this stuff in my head. It's what I want to, I'm going to now teach you. Of course, Robert's there to hear this saying, oh, great. This guy's not only taken my room, but he's taken over me as a favorite son now in one night.
Yeah.
And then Rocky says home team, which is what he says to his son. And he says, let's go for it. All this stuff, all the Rocky terms in one 10-second dialogue.
He must have been getting paid per catchphrase.
Yeah, let's go for it. Home team. Yo. Now we get to the sequence. And of course, Robert walks upstairs dejected about this. And the next sequence right after is the school ground. And if you look at the school ground, Craig, look how high that fence is.
Yeah, you're definitely not climbing over that fence.
Well, they've made a hole in it.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? I guess it keeps the balls in, maybe. You could argue that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Because you got the kids right outside the fence talking, kids inside the fence playing. But I would argue maybe the ball doesn't go running down the street. That's about it. Other than that, kids seem to go in and out as they please.
Hey, rich boy. How much you got in your pocket today?
Nothing.
Come on.
What's that? Nothing. I got nothing.
Come on. Give me the money.
Come on.
All right, so we've got young Kevin Connolly here, and I'll say it again. I'm going to try to get him on the show. I'm pleading. Yeah. I tweeted him last two episodes ago because his character got introduced, so I tweeted out saying, hey, Kevin, your character has been introduced on the show. We'd love to talk to you still. But his Islanders got knocked out that same day, so I don't know. Probably wasn't a very good headspace. Maybe he's in a better headspace after a few days after his team got knocked out of the playoffs.
He could also go back and loop any dialogue for this movie because his voice is exactly the same.
Jeez.
Not a put down.
No, sure. Well, it just means that a young Kevin Connolly already had a manly voice. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love how do you remember his name in the movie?
No, that's another one for Mike.
Now, well, no, he has a name. We had an IMDb. I don't think his name has been said yet in the film. So it'll be interesting to see when or if it happens. Now, Jewel, the girl, has introduced herself as Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
But his name is Chicky.
Okay.
And his buddy there with the flock of seagulls haircut?
Yes.
His name is Chicky's Pal. He wasn't even given a name in the movie.
Chicky's Pal.
And his name in real life, the actor that played him, his name is Hope Swayze.
It's a great name.
Yeah, Hope Swayze. Or Swayze Hope, one of the two. Yeah, I think it's Swayze Hope. That's right, because Hope's kind of a girl's name. I think it's Swayze Hope, whatever it is. It's a really uncommon name. And I looked it up, and he has a Twitter account. I reached out to him, but I think it's been a dead account for years. And the only movie this guy's been in is Rocky V as Chicky's Pal.
I mean, when you do something like Rocky V, there's nowhere to go, really, but down.
And, well, speaking of that, Jewel, she has been in one other movie. She was in a movie just a year before this one called She-Double.
Okay, with Roseanne.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Between the two of them, they did three movies, and one of those was Rocky V.
Yeah. I almost wonder if it's the fact that they were doing a lot of regional casting here, and these were kids that were all local to Philadelphia, and, you know, that's not really a haven of working kid actors.
That's a good point, actually. That's a really good point. It's kind of cheap, I would say, because it would be cheaper for the... Because you wonder if the studio was apprehensive. And I don't know. Here's the thing. Why would they be apprehensive about a Rocky V? Maybe because of the time that it passed? Because Rocky IV was a smash.
Yeah, it was only 4 years, though.
No, between Rocky IV and... Oh, yeah, sorry. Between Rocky IV and V was 6 years. I think Rocky... Oh, 5 years. Rocky V came out... Sorry, Rocky IV came out in 85.
Oh, and this came out in 1990.
So 5 years. But back in the day, 5 years between sequels was really kind of, it's more, I would say more common now, but you could do a sequel 3 to 5 years later now and people are like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. But back then.
Yeah, and also it was coming off of the biggest sequel.
Yeah.
Rocky IV had made the most money of any of the entries in the series at that point. A sequel almost seemed, you know, like a given.
I do find it odd, though. I just do find it odd that it was... such a low budget. And maybe they, I don't know, it's weird. Maybe they saw the script and they just weren't on board. You would think, we said this before, that Rocky V had to be this film. It actually had no choice but to be this film. Because after Drago, you have Rocky going to space.
But it seems like Rocky has always been, you know, since, I guess, this movie, he's always been the underdog in a cinematic sense. Because the fact that it took Stallone as long as it did to get people on board with Balboa sort of boggles the mind.
Can you believe it? Rocky Balboa came out 16 years after this film.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's funny because there's not a week that goes by that I don't turn on my TV and go to the guide and pass by a Rocky movie when I'm checking to see what's on that day.
It's crazy.
And that's the amazing thing to me is they've always sort of doubted the financial, you know, strength of the Rocky character.
Yeah, you don't see that with Star Trek, Star Wars even. I don't know if it's just a, what do you call it, distribution deals or whatever, mm-hmm. but Rocky is always available, and it just stays in the lexicon of generations and generations and generations.
Yeah.
So many people stop and watch, even if it's for 5-10 minutes, so many people stop and watch some Rocky when it's on TV. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicky here says, hey, I got to eat. So he's about to rob Robert. Robert says he doesn't have any money, but we're about to find out that's not entirely true. And Chicky's also wearing the jacket that he pulled off Robert the other day. I love that.
Yeah, which he deserved to get that coat stolen from him.
Would you wear that jacket with that furry collar?
Not to school.
No.
Gotta eat! He's hungry, he's gotta eat! We'll eat this!
Oh, man.
All right, so we'll stop it there. So he gets clocked right in the cheek again. Same eyes before.
And yeah, devastating blow.
Poor Robert, but this is two punches in a row where he just falls like a cement balloon. He is not his father's son when it comes to the DNA of the rockhead jaw.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes that's a good defense, is just fall and play weak.
What I love, though, is Chicky took money out of the left pocket, didn't even bother checking the right pocket.
No, there might have been more in there, right?
I guess save it for another day.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that for a discussion of the Rocky V scenes, because the next one's a big, kind of a big scene where we get into some of the training and the rise of Tommy, or Rocky's puppet.
I do want to ask you,
mm-hmm, of course,
why didn't Robert at that point put his money in his shoe or something?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, he'd been taken enough. This was a regular occurrence. You know, you'd think that, you know, a lot of kids develop that, oh, I'll put my money in my shoe or whatever, so if they check my pockets, they're empty.
Maybe the idea is, oh, if they grab it, they'll take off.
Oh, that's a good point. Instead of just saying, oh, you don't have money, we're going to take it out of your hide.
That's right. We'll take off your jacket, then we'll take off your pants. So it's kind of like, there's the money, now go. Is there anything you want to close with, Craig, before we close the show? Plug your show or any projects you got coming up?
It's always an honor to be invited on a... And I always love Rocky V because I think it's the movie, you know, a lot of people don't really talk about as much. So, I mean, we've got the Sly Kids going and become a running joke. I'm hopeful that we'll get some more content out there. If you look at the feed, there's plenty in the archive to keep you busy. I think these shows that we do are all great companion pieces for other, and I've always said the one thing I really like about your series here, we'll devote one episode to talking about a movie, whereas you go into the deep dive of things. So listen to our Rocky V episodes, and then for the deeper dive, come over here and listen to Ryan and Ruben's show.
And then when Rocky Minute gets to season 5 of their show, they get even deeper with 1 minute at a time. So Doug Greenberg and Jason Haynes of the Rocky Minute show will plug them as well. And we're all friends of the Stallone Podcast Network. You know, this is, you guys are friends, online friends in real life. I hope to meet you and Doug in real life one day, because I think we just have a great time talking.
Yeah, and goodness, Sly's making a convention appearance over the summer. That's amazing.
Yeah, in Philly, and I'll miss it by days because I'm closer to the East Coast now. Our family's moving to Quebec at the end of June, beginning of July. We'll be moved in completely, but I'll be on the road crossing Canada during that convention.
Oh, wow. I do know that when I was still living in Jersey quite a few years ago, Sly made an appearance at the New York Conference. It would be too heartbreaking to go not being able to meet him.
Okay, start that. Because, sorry, you just lagged out really bad on that one. Start that story again. We'll see if the legs fixes itself.
His convention appearances are very few and far between, and he seems to do a lot of it in the UK. But I remember when I was still living in Jersey, he did a Comic-Con quite a few years ago, and I looked ahead online and saw the price, decided not to go because it would just be too heartbreaking to be there and not be able to meet him. This is a great opportunity for people, and it sounds like he's going to do some panels and stuff. So anybody who is going, just enjoy and make sure you report back to us and let us know.
Absolutely. And I think, is Kunda going to the convention?
You know what? I've seen him have some discussions online, and it sounds like he might be there for a certain day, but it didn't seem like it was a given. So I don't know if his schedule is just too busy with the documentary that he's out, you know, celebrating, or or what, but I can't imagine that if Mike's in Philadelphia when Sly's there, they won't meet up.
Oh, that'd be amazing to hear about that again. Well, Craig, it's been an absolute honor and pleasure having you on. I hope to do this again. If you want
me
to come on a guest host again, I'm going to tweet to that guy, maybe have him come listen to this episode.
Oh, goodness. I never fault people for loving something and letting you know that they miss it. But, you know, life also moves forward and things change and things develop and things.
It's all good fun. I take no offense, and I just take it as I'm just going with it to have fun with it. I know there's people who have listened to my show that have stopped listening, and I've got new listeners who come on board, and I'm sure it's the same for every podcast. Every TV show has people, I stopped watching that TV show after season 3, and some people hate listen for all we know. You know what I mean? People are funny. We're a funny bunch of humans, aren't we?
Yeah, totally. It's one of those things too where, you know, we're all doing this for free. So we're in it to have fun before anything else.
I always say I'll never do ads on the show, and I'll never do Patreon. This is really just for the fans to listen to and enjoy, and you won't get the interruptions halfway through the podcast. And yeah, you know, other than plugging each other, we love to plug each other. Other than that, that's the only ads you'll get.
Yep.
All right, thanks, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. I'll talk soon.
Do you want to get, take us out with a ding ding?
All right. Ding ding. Thank you.